It's time to go up close and in-depth with Virginia Tech. And who's better to help Wes break down what's going on in Blacksburg than the voice of the Hokies, Bill Roth.
Play action pass on first down for Thomas. Off in the deep right side in the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Tech!
It's time for the Cowan Gates Roth Report on Sports Radio 910. Cowan Gates, our standard is excellence. You can get in on the report as well. Call 345-0910 or hit us up in the inbox, Wes, at sportsradio910.com. Here's Wes McElroy and Bill Roth.
And joining us from where I believe it is sun and shiny, down in Miami, where the Hurricanes and the Hokies go for round two, Bill Roth joining us. And Bill, I said this is a little bit of an unusual situation. Hokies coming in off a win and the Hurricanes coming off a conference loss.
I know, it's very interesting. The first game between these two teams was great. Tech was up by 12 in the first half, led at the half end for much of the second half before the Canes rallied to win. So I'm excited about this game tonight. They're going to have a full house here in Miami, and we'll see how the Canes react after that loss at Wake Forest.
I don't know if you got the chance to take a look at the film. I missed the game on Saturday against Wake. What happened to Miami?
Well, you know, Wake Forest has some talent, and when they put it all together, that helps. And if you don't guard them, they can score. I don't think the defensive intensity was there for Coach Larrañaga's team. Harris was able to go off on them a little bit, and they gave up a lot of points in transition. I think if we see anything from Miami tonight, they'll probably be a lot better defensively.
And I read somewhere this week, I read that he kind of took media obligations away from this team, that maybe it was just too much, and maybe their focus was getting away from him, so he pulled any media availability?
Yeah, that was the talk. You know, I don't know. He's got a really senior bunch. I don't know that it was for any team. You can expect them to go through a whole 18-game schedule and go undefeated. But that's what he felt was necessary, and we'll see how they react tonight. I think it's interesting. They've got Duke, of course, on Saturday. So
yeah,
they've got a big game coming up on the road, the rematch of the game where they absolutely pounded Duke here, as you know, last month.
Yeah, and the timing of it all kind of stinks. You almost would have loved to see Miami beat Wake and then maybe have this letdown tonight against Virginia Tech. But you know they'll be on full alert of any kind of letdown this evening against the Hokies.
Yeah. I think this is the second time now in a week the Hokies are facing a top-five team coming off a loss. That's what happened with the Duke game last week, too. But, you know, the Hokies have played the Canes well. The first game here, they've always played well here in Coral Gables. So I think it'll be an entertaining game tonight.
And Virginia Tech coming off that win against Florida State. And while we're talking about different situations and circumstances, We're talking about a team, you know, really for one of the few times this year coming off a game where it's not just Eric Green anymore. They're finally getting some contributions on this team.
Yeah, Barksdale had his second really good game in a row. Really, he's turned in his two best collegiate games in the last week. Against Duke, he had 14 and 8, and then he had 17 points and 9 rebounds against Florida State. The one thing about Miami is they're a lot better than Florida State, so he's going to have his work cut out for him tonight. He really struggled in the first game against this team, as did Marshall Wood. The Hokies' two foremen, the power forwards against Miami in the first game, had a combined 0 points and 2 rebounds. And it's hard to beat a team when you're getting absolutely no production at all in 40 minutes out of the four spot. So that's something that I visited with Coach Johnson earlier today. He talked about. And then the key tonight, he feels, is how Marquise Rankin guards Shane Larkin, who's such a good player. We've got great guards in this game with Eric Green and Larkin. And I'm sure they'll both have really good games, but Rankin has to keep Larkin from dominating the game, which he can do.
That game's coming your way tonight. Pre-game starting at 6:30, and then 7 o'clock will be the tip with Mike and Bill. Bill Roth joining us on a special night of the Cowan Gates Roth Report. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to go away from basketball. We're going to get to a little football as the schedule was released on Monday. We'll get Bill Roth's thoughts on it next. You are listening to the Cowan Gates Roth Report with Bill Roth right here on Sports Radio 910. Back in 60 seconds.
Hey, this is Bill Roth. You know, every Tuesday we bring you the Roth Report with all of the latest and greatest in tech sports news, and it's a team effort. So I'd like to thank the team at Cowan Gates, especially Virginia Tech alumni Frank Cowan, Mike Hall, Brandon Cowan, and Catherine Gray for their sponsorship of the Roth Report. The attorneys of Cowan Gates have been helping families and businesses for over 35 years. Call them at 804-320-8918 or visit CowanGates.com. Show your support for the team that supports the Roth Report, the attorneys of Cowan Gates.
This is Brandon Cowan, estate planning attorney with Cowan Gates. Most of my clients want to ensure their assets pass in the manner they desire and to the people they desire, and that they limit the amount the government takes. Do you share these concerns? For some, a trust is the best vehicle to accomplish these goals. For others, a simple will is sufficient. Regardless, proper estate planning now can save your loved ones considerable aggravation, time, and money later. To determine the best approach to protect your estate, contact me, Brandon Cowan, at CowanGates.com. That's CowanGates.com.
Wes McElroy, Bill Roth, the Cowan Gates Roth Report on a Wednesday night leading into the Hokies and the Hurricanes down in Miami. Tip at 7 o'clock. We got the game for you on Sports Radio 910. Bill Roth staying with us through the break. And Bill, if I can transition, one of the favorite days in the offseason of a college football fan, the day the schedule comes out, what did you think of it before we get into any specifics?
Well, we knew who we'd be playing. What we did know is the days of the week and the order in which they play. I think it's interesting the Hokies have an open date in November before the UVA game. That's a little interesting. And the way the schedule breaks down, there's two open dates coming down the stretch. So I think that, in that regard, it's a little bit of a positive. Playing Georgia Tech on a short week on a Thursday in Atlanta is probably a negative in terms of the spacing of it.
Yeah, you're going to play Marshall at home, and then you're going to have 5 days to go on the road and prepare for that Georgia Tech offense. Seems to be that usually the big stir would be about that Alabama game leading things off. It seems the actual stir about the schedule is no Thursday night home game. And according to Jim Weaver, he said he wanted a break in the action. Asked the ACC, asked the ESPN, you know, if we could have 1 year a break away from that. I've gotten mixed reaction. I'm curious to what the feedback that you received is.
I think it's interesting. I think it depends on where you live, your reaction to that. I think if you live in Roanoke and West, or within 2 hours of the stadium, you're probably miffed. Or if you don't have kids and even live in Richmond, you might be a little upset about it. If you've got kids or if you live in Norfolk or D.C., where such a large number of our fans do live, you're probably quietly relieved. And the reason I say that is this. You know, last year Jim took a lot of criticism for having our two best home games on a Monday and a Thursday. They were both on school nights, Georgia Tech and Florida State. And when you go back, you know, we look at the tickets, we can see there were a lot of empty seats. There were a lot of no-shows for both of those games, even though they were sold out. And so I think that's one factor. And the second thing that I've not heard anyone write about or talk about is this. If you're a coach at Virginia Tech, let's say you're the football coach, and you want to bring kids up on official visits, you want to have them there on Saturdays. You can't do an official visit on Thursday night. You know, the NCAA won't allow you to fly kids in anymore. So now you're asking them to come up on a Thursday from Richmond or D.C. or from Hampton Roads. They can't do it. And so our two biggest home games last year, we couldn't have recruits in, not only for football, but for every sport. And every sport at Virginia Tech uses football Saturdays to recruit. So you'd like to have big home games on a Saturday when you can bring them in. Now, I understand where fans are coming from. It's been a tradition at Tech. These Thursday night games are always exciting, and they're electric. And we've played one every year for whatever it is, 10 or 11 years. We usually win. Some of the great games in the school's history have been on Thursday night. So I get that. And there's this fact of the matter is that the SEC is getting the Saturday night primetime game. So you wonder, are we going to play a lot of early afternoon games this fall? So I see it from both sides. And I think as an athletics administrator, you got to kind of budget both. I think if you asked our coaches or folks in Northern Virginia or Norfolk, they'd prefer Saturday games. But I don't think it's worth getting up in arms over one game not being played on a Thursday night. I just hope we win a bunch of them.
Do you think it will be easy if Jim Weaver wants it back? Do you think it'll be easy to get that home Thursday night game back?
Oh yeah, because it's an easy logistic for our campus. We're not like North Carolina where they got a medical school and they got to clear parking lots and you've got to really plan it in advance. I mean, any college in the ACC or in the country really that plays a Thursday night game and has a lot of business, non-academic business on its campus, a Thursday game can be really problematic because I mean, how does North Carolina have a Thursday home game when you know, that hospital parking lot is also donor parking, and they've got surgery scheduled and things like that. So it's really problematic for some schools, whereas at Tech, we've got such great parking, we've got so much room, and there's so many parking lots, we can pretty much pull it off. So I think our administration's receptive to it. Jim says we'll have another one next year, and my hunch is it'll be Georgia Tech. So that's probably what will go down.
All right. Schedule is
out. What do you think? What are your fans saying? What are fans saying to your show?
You know, I totally agree with you about the geographical opinion because I've had a lot of people just in this building alone who are ticket holders who have traveled for one or two games a year. They miss just having a normal Saturday weekend trip. Last year almost seemed to be too much in one season.
Well, if you're going to make fans go to Atlanta, that's a drive. And coming off a season in which we had these weeknight games, it's tough. I'm a big believer in Saturday games. I like Saturday night games. LSU's got a great thing going where they play all their games at night. Now, a lot of that's because of the heat. And secondly, they've been really good, and they get a lot of primetime games.
Yep.
If I had my preferences, we'd play a lot of Saturday night games at Lane Stadium. I think they'd be great.
My man, I'll let you go get back into the basketball frame of mind. We'll be listening tonight at 6:30 and tip at 7 o'clock.
Sounds great. Thanks, Wes. Have a great week.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Roth on a special Wednesday edition, shuffling things around because he was flying to Miami yesterday.